How do you know? This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. How do you know? We oftentimes question ourselves as to what is the ideal father? What is the ideal mother? What is the ideal world? What is the ideal life? What is the ideal income? What is the ideal body? What is the ideal child? What is the ideal adult? What is the ideal? And we really have no idea. We have no idea. We have ideas of what we think we'd like to have. We have ideas of what we think would be pleasant and lovely to experience. But truly, we have no idea what the ideal father, the ideal mother, the ideal person in our life, the ideal us is. Now, recently we've been having a program here on the campus of the university where I have been working with each of the monks, and I've been having them write down what the, that's the capital T-H-E, the ideal father is, and not their father. Their father may have been stupendous, fantastic, but what the ideal father is. Because oftentimes, we have no idea what the ideal father is. Now, we say what we would like the ideal father to be, what we'd like the ideal father to share with us, what we'd like the ideal father to respond to in our life. But let's become even more deep than that. Let's look more intensely than what we would like. What is the ideal father? Is the ideal father who gives us anything we want? Is the ideal father the one who does things around the house? Is the ideal father who makes our mother happy? Is the ideal father the one who does all these things? You see, those are fine. But those are transitory. They come and they go. The ideal father is something that is far more grand than anything we have ever dreamed possible. Number one, the ideal father is the ideal man. Now, what is the ideal man? Oh, we'll get to the ideal woman, too, and we'll get to the ideal child, too. But let's start out with a premise. The ideal man, the ideal father. What is the ideal father? Now, the ideal father is a man. The ideal mother is a woman. Okay, the ideal father is a man. And the ideal father is a man who is loving, unconditionally loving. He has no judgments about anything. He doesn't judge his children. He doesn't judge his wife. He doesn't judge his world. He doesn't judge anything. He is a non-judgmental person. The ideal father does not judge himself, he does not judge his family, and he does not judge his world. The ideal father looks at his world and himself and his family as the most fulfilled, beautiful, positive, delightful, responsible world in the world. He looks at his family as fulfilled. He looks at his wife as ideal herself. He looks at himself as ideal. He looks at everything that goes on as ideal. Now, you might say that's pretty nice and not pretty nice. Where does it allow for mistakes and failures? Where does it allow for trial and error? Where does it allow for us to have the opportunity to be less than perfect? Well, we're talking about the ideal father right now. We're not talking about the less than perfect being, less than perfect anything. We're talking about the ideal. And the ideal father is so perfect. He looks at all things and sees them already fulfilled in whatever their ideal nature is. Now, we're touching upon a word here, ideal again. What is the ideal nature of anything in the world? Do we have the capacity, do we have the ability to see what the ideal things are in the world? Or are we just sort of wishfully hoping? Or would we like them to be something that are compassionate, something that are loving in a human way? I'm only human. Do we want the ideal father to be loving in a compassionate human way? Well, you say yes. Oh my, yes, that would be wonderful. Not really. The ideal father is the image of that which is my pattern, which is a reference for me to look at life. The ideal father is the sample, the format, the one who I use as my ideal, the one who I use as my way of looking at all of life. My father, my ideal father, and I will always say my ideal father, or the ideal father, because this is universal. This is not just my father. This is just not my mother and father who gave birth to me as a being. This is the ideal, the concept, the symbol of father itself. Now, the ideal father is unconditionally loving. Now we say, oh, yes, 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 how wonderful to be unconditionally loving. Yes, it is, isn't it? Mm-hmm. What does unconditionally loving mean? Love without condition. Unconditionally loving means love without condition. It means that regardless of whether someone else in the family is getting more than I'm getting, my ideal father loves without condition. The ideal father loves without condition. My father may not have arrived at that level of awareness yet, and thank goodness he didn't, because I like the touching, the humanness of a father. Do you? We live in a world of role models. We live in a world of ideals. We live in a world of perfection. We live in a world of that which is and always will be. Now, we have taken that world and we have dressed it a little differently than its original purity and integrity. We have dressed that world with compassion. We have dressed that world with the feeling of feeling sorry for us when we have something that happened that we put into motion, that we brought into our life, and that we made happen itself, and we want that compassion. We want someone to feel sorry for us, even though it's absolutely 100% our choice. Not fault, our choice. We make the choice by how we live, how we act, how we think, how we are, and the results come from those choices. Now, the ideal father makes all these choices too. But the ideal father makes these choices from being unconditionally loving. The ideal father has no feeling of sorriness, no feeling of sensitivity, no feeling of awareness for what a person is going through. Because the ideal father knows that each person is making choices, and those choices are the results that they see in their world. Now, what do I mean when I say the ideal father? I'm defining the ideal father. What do I mean when I define the ideal father? Well, the ideal father has everything. It doesn't need anything. It doesn't want anything. It doesn't choose anything. It doesn't look for things. It has everything. Whenever a thought goes through the mind of the ideal Father, that thought is a living reality in his experience. Whatever thought goes through the mind of an ideal Father, that thought is a living reality in the experience of that ideal Father. Wow. I think of a beautiful car, and it's mine. No, no, no. See, there's where the ideal Father doesn't say it's mine. The ideal Father enjoys everything. The ideal Father thinks of a beautiful car and enjoys a beautiful car, never possessing the beautiful car. Never saying, it is my beautiful car. Never saying of the children that live in the family of the ideal Father, these are my children. This is my wife. This is my house. And the ideal Father does not say that. The ideal Father knows that all is his. All is all's. Everything belongs to everything. There is no one area in which it belongs to one person or one family or one country or one world. It is all universal. Thinking in terms of the ideal Father takes on some pretty heavy ramifications here. Thinking in the terms of an ideal Father makes me think in a totally different realm than the human realm, than what I have been trained to think about and live and know all of my life. Now, you see, none of us have the ideal Father. None of us. None of us even know the ideal Father. As we pursue the concept, as we pursue the ideal Father symbol, the ideal Father definition, as we pursue that, we will come to many different aspects of it, which say, yeah, that's how my dad is. Yeah, that's how my dad was. Yeah, that applies to my dad. Yeah. But we don't say it about everything. We say it about a few things, and those few things we say with tongue in cheek, not quite sure that our dad really is that, or was that, or does that. But as we define ideal Father, the ideal Father, the ideal Father, as we define the ideal Father, we come to a conclusion within us that the ideal Father does exist. The ideal Father does exist. The ideal Father does exist in my world. But you see, there it's my world. In the world, in the universe, the ideal Father does exist. And the ideal Father does not feel sorry for anyone, does not have sympathy or compassion for anyone. The ideal Father knows absolute abundance, and yet the ideal Father has nothing, and yet the ideal Father has everything. Delving into the concept, the ideal Father, and as we will one day delve into the concept of all other aspects, like the person that has the name that you go by, the person who has the family you go by, the person who has the work, the job, the relationships that you go by. When these can be recognized from the ideal point of view, the ideal point of view, they take on a totally different format than what we so lovingly give them as our experience. People want to live in a world of ideals. People want to live in a world where everyone loves everyone else. People want to live in a world where everyone has everything that they would like to have. We want to live in what we call the ideal world. And yet, when we get down to it, the ideal world is not the world that we want to live in. We want to live in the human world, basically. Because the ideal world is something that takes no pride, no pleasure in existing. It just is, and it just is it. There's no joy or lack of joy. There's merely beingness. You say, well, man, this is totally contrary to what a human thinks. It's totally contrary to what a human experiences. It's totally contrary to how we should look at life, to how we should look at the world. Perhaps. If we are looking at ourselves as being ideal, the ideal which is ourself, if we're looking at our A Father, which is the ideal Father, the ideal Father, the ideal Mother, the ideal world, the ideal relationships, the ideal household, the ideal whatever, as we look at these things, and we look at them truly in the ideal aspect, they are absolutely different from what we know them in our human relationship. Absolutely different. Do we want them? Often, people come in to the healing ministry, and we work with them, and they experience a spiritual healing. They experience a spiritual healing. Before they had the change of awareness, because that's what healing is, it's just change of awareness. You have an awareness that you have an illness, and you have an awareness that you are whole and perfect. Not that you did have an illness before, or not that you know what an illness is, but you're whole and perfect. And wholeness and perfection is all that you know. You don't remember ever having been in the hospital, and no hospital ever remembers you having been there. No family members ever remember you experiencing anything that was not absolutely perfect. Everyone in your world sees you as the ideal, fulfilled being. You cannot say, see my scar from my appendicitis or something like that, because there's no scar. There is no evidence of any change in your body from its original purity and integrity to now. Now, on the surface, that seems like a very desirable and a very wonderful thing. But as you look deeper into it, the humanness disappears from it. The humanness is no longer there. The feeling that, oh yes, look at here is my illness, here's evidence of that. Oh yes, I've been through that. I know how you're feeling. We read stories about famous people who have gone through many experiences to become famous. And very seldom do we really remember that person became famous. We remember all of the little struggles that they made along the way. And the struggles were they let go of the past, they let go of experiences that would limit them, they let go of concepts that did not support building them up as the understanding, fantastic, successful person they became. We read those stories, and we dwell upon those limitations that they had. And we don't really know what were the aspects of their greatness. The aspects of every great person, every successful person, and this doesn't mean an ideal person. It just means, from the worldly point of view, any successful person. The attitude of any successful person is his attitude. That's redundant. Yes. Whatever the attitude is of a successful person, that's what made that person a success. The attitude of a non-successful person is that which made him not a success. How do we handle an attitude? How do we choose an attitude? Well, the attitude is, I am a success. Or the attitude is, I am not a success. I am a failure. Now, you say, which attitude would anyone normally want? Well, you say, surely they want to be a success. No, they don't. No, they don't. Many people, when they wish for money, they say, I just want enough to get by. I just want enough to live in a happy world. I don't want all the money in the world. I don't want the King Midas syndrome. I don't want that sort of thing. I just want enough to get by. Well, how much is enough to get by? That changes from day to day. That changes from minute to minute. Yes, what is the ideal? When you live as the ideal, whatever you are, when you live as the ideal, you don't need money, because whatever you choose to have, you have. Whatever you think about, you have. What's the use of having money if you think about food and you have food? You think about clothing, you have clothing. You think about a house, you got a house. You think about an island in the South Pacific that's perfect temperature year-round, and you have all of the accoutrements that you might want in that house. You have electricity, you have the latest appliances, anything you know about is yours. And the electricity you have is solar energy and not dependent upon anything from, so to speak, the outside, and yet it's dependent upon the sun. But how interesting. Now, a person who lives in this self-sustaining universe does not have any need to have access with the outside world, with anything other than itself. But should this ideal person be living in another area, that other area would reveal to that ideal person exactly what he had revealed to him in his paradise. For wherever that ideal person would go, that ideal person would live in paradise, because that is the ideal in the consciousness of that person. Their attitude would be ideal, and they would experience the ideal. Everyone looks at the ideal just a little differently. Everyone wants things just a little differently because they're not looking at things from the ideal. They're looking at things from the relative, from the appearances. And as they look at things from the appearances, what happens to them? They are not the ideal. They are enjoying things. What is, let's say, the greatest joy that you have in having things? Not in using them, but in showing them off. Because a vehicle that has all of the special things in it, all the luxury items in it, whether it be a Cadillac or a Porsche, whether it be a Maserati or whether it be a Rolls Royce, whatever it may be, the name doesn't matter. The name matters only when you're showing off to others. I have a Bentley. And then others say, oh, you must have bucks. But a person who has everything and goes around the world does not flaunt it, does not show it off, just enjoys it, just lives with it. They live in their ideal beingness. And that ideal beingness is pretty exciting. Now, are you ready? Are you willing, perhaps, is more? Are you ready to take a few moments and write down what you think the ideal father is from things that we've said so far? And as you write down what you think the ideal father is that father limited in any way? Does that father like to do things so therein he could not also like to do things? Could that father have things and yet not have things? Is that father possessed of anything, or is he always unpossessed? Is that father unconditionally loving at all times and never not being unconditionally loving? Can you, can I, at any time in our life, visualize a world which is the ideal world? The original purity and integrity, we have everything. Our bodies give demonstration of this so often because they show that we do have everything in our bodies. We create our bodies with everything in it. And we go through our life demonstrating whatever we create we have in our bodies. Now I would like it if you would take some time here at the monastery and wherever you may be, because everyone is a monk, but take some time and write down what you think an ideal father is. Not your father, not how your father being ideal would be, but what if in the grandest imagination you have, you think, what is the ideal father? And as you think this, you find out, how do you know? You need to know an ideal. How do you know what an ideal father is? You don't put special words negative to an ideal father. You don't say he's not hungry, he's not unhappy. And you don't say the ideal father has all the happiness in the world. You don't say the ideal father is infinitely wealthy. You don't say, just think of this as a little help here. When you, in your heart, describe what being you might have created as God outside of yourself, and as this being you create outside of yourself, and you call it God, does it have anything? Does it own anything? Does it need anything? Does it enjoy anything? Does it not enjoy anything? How does it see all that it creates? How do you see all that you create? It sees all that it creates as good and very good, the fulfillment of its purpose in creating. And what it has created is neither happy nor sad, nor rich nor glad. It doesn't make anything in the world at all. It only matters that it exists, and it exists in its ideal purity, in its original purity and integrity. So let's take this criteria, sort of, and let's write down what we think an ideal father is. We'll get to an ideal mother and others, but what is an ideal father? And one day we'll get to writing down, what is an ideal me? What is the ideal I am? How does it respond, act, live, share, express? That is the telling point. And when I come to that point, I'll say to myself, wow, I have been that all along. My father is my ideal father. But for the moment, let's do our exercise. And how do you know? You don't. I need to know an ideal? You don't. So you think, what would an ideal father be if an ideal father actually existed? Now, write these things down. Not a lot, not a little, but write them down. And as you write them down, don't judge yourself. And if it's one that you find it has any limitation in it, just draw one single line through it and go on. And go on. You'll have your trials and errors because you're acting as a human. And the instant you step into your divine understanding, your divine awareness, then you'll realize you're writing, and your hand does not want to stop writing. And you are writing what you think it is. You're writing the ideal you believe it is. You're writing. And you're writing smoothly, beautifully, wonderfully. The ideal. Is that worth pursuit? I would suggest it surely is. So put it into practice today, and let's see what you come up with. Because it's pretty wonderful. I'll do that too. And know that I love you, I love you, I love you with all my heart.